But Romans chapter 5, and I'd like to begin by reading verses 1 through 5, the first five verses of Romans chapter 5. Paul writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." On Sunday nights, we've been looking at the various points of hope that God gives to all of His children. We've already considered together six of those great hopes. We've looked at the hope of the gospel, the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life, and the hope of His calling. We learned about the hope of the promise of the resurrection. And last week we considered the hope of righteousness, where now believers are justified and declared righteous before God, but when we are in heaven, we have the hope that we will be made righteous even as Christ is. But as great as those hopes are, and they are great hopes, there is still one that is even greater. And this hope really will be the source of all of the others that we've considered. And that hope we find in verse 2 of the verses that we just read. Romans 5 verse 2. And this will be our focus for tonight. It is the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God. And the first thing that we see from this is that as Christians, we have a great expectation. A great expectation. That expectation is this hope that Paul talks about in Romans 5, 2. The hope of the glory of God. Now, the glory that is described here is not our glorified being and our glorified body. The glory that is described here is the brightness and splendor of God Himself. Now, so many of the other points of hope that we've looked at, the hope of righteousness, the hope of calling, the hope of salvation, the hope of the gospel, all of those points of hope had a lot to do with our own nature and really how we will be finally glorified by God. After all, John says in 1 John 3:2, we shall be like Him. And so it's good that God gives us many of those points of hope. This is what it's going to be like for you when you're in heaven. You're going to be righteous. You're going to be completely and entirely saved. But this point of hope, the point of hope of the glory of God, doesn't have to do with our nature. It has to do with the nature of God. It's not about our glory. It's about His glory. John again says, yes, we shall be like Him, but why is that going to take place? Because we shall see Him as He is. We're going to see Him in all His glory. This is truly the greatest hope that you and I have as believers. Not just the righteousness, not just the fourfold salvation, not just the fulfillment of His calling, but we will see God in all of His glorious splendor. God is a God of glory. And that is our greatest hope, to be in the presence of the glory of God forevermore. As Charles Gabriel once wrote in his hymn, "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me." And of course the chorus, "Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Be glory for me." And that really is our greatest expectation as Christians. Our greatest hope that we will see Him as He is. And I hope that is what you have in your life as your greatest desire. Not just losing all of the pain and the suffering, but rather being with the dear Lord that you adore. You see, the glory of God is going to be revealed to you someday if you're a child of God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 5, in one of Isaiah's great prophecies, which says that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. When we go to heaven, the glory of God will be revealed to you in all of its splendor. Now, just what is the glory of God? A few years ago, if you recall, we looked at this topic in depth in one of our adult Sunday school lessons. But to summarize what we learned then is the glory of God is simply the visible display, the visible manifestation of the presence and the attributes of God. The visible display. You can see it. You may not be able to see the form of God because God is a spirit. Of course, Jesus, of course, has that body, but it's still a glorified body. But you know God is there because you see His glory. You see the brightness. You see the splendor. It's a visible manifestation of who He is and where He is. And today, even in this world and even in our lives, we can see glimpses of His glory. The glory of God often appears to us at different times and in different ways. Just not all at once and not in all of its fullness. One of those ways that we see the glory of God today is found in Psalm 19:1, familiar verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? And so when you look up in a midnight sky and see the stars and you see the moon, you even see some of the planets, guess what? You are seeing the glory of God reflected through His creation. But is that all of God's glory? No. It's just a taste of it, just a glimpse of it, just a glimmer. It's not all at once. It's not all of its fullness. And the Bible teaches us why. Because we are unable to see and experience all of His glory in our condition right now. Remember the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 33. You don't need to turn there, but it's a familiar passage where Moses says to the Lord, "I beseech you, show me your glory." And isn't that the heart's desire of a true Christian? We want to see God. We want to see all His glory. But of course, Moses was still in this sinful flesh, just like you and I are in. And God said to Moses, "I will make all of my goodness pass before thee." Now, at first we think, well, God isn't answering his prayer request. God is not answering what Moses wants him to do. But remember, the glory is just the visible display of His presence and His attributes. And one of those attributes is His goodness. So did God display to Moses His glory just as He asked when He passed by with His goodness? Yes. Just it wasn't in all of its glory. It wasn't in all of its splendor. But God said, "I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But then God says to Moses, "You cannot see my face. You cannot see the brightness of my glory in all of its fullness, for there shall no man see me and live." And so like Moses, when we think about and we look at the glory of God in our life today, our view of God's glory is limited. It's even a bit hazy. But guess what? That's why we're given this hope, the hope of the glory of God. Now we see the glory of God appear to us in limited ways. But then in heaven, the glory of God will abide with us completely in all of its fullness and in all of its brightness. Again, John says, 1 John 3:2, we shall see Him as He is. What does that mean? It means there will be nothing impeding our vision and our view. Have you ever gone to the eye doctors? And of course, they have all of these machines that check your eyesight, right? And they often will try to check one eye versus the other eye, and they stick one of those patches or paddles over each eye. Why are they doing that? They're impeding your vision to see how well you can see with the other eye. And sometimes that's a little bit how it feels when we see the glory of God in our lives today. It seems like there's a paddle over one eye, and then if we think we start to see it, the paddle goes on the other eye, and we have a hard time grasping His glory. When we're in heaven, our eyes will be perfectly clear, and we will see it without any obstacle whatsoever. In heaven, His glory will abide with us. And what will that glory be like? The Bible gives a lot of descriptions of His glory. Here are just a few. His glory is extensive. Numbers 14:21, the Lord said, "As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." There will come a day where all of earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. In other words, not even the heavens will be able to contain His glory where God lives. It will reach all the way to the new earth to the point that there will not even need to be a sun to give light. And do you realize that this hope of the glory of God was given to the children of Israel all the way back there in the book of Numbers, hundreds and thousands of years ago? But we know that when we are in heaven, when we are on the new earth, the glory of God is going to be so bright that you will not even need any kind of sun or moon or any such thing. Revelation 22:5 describes what it's going to be like. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. How? Through the light of His glory, the light of His presence, the light of His attributes. And it will be the light of His own glory. His glory is extensive. Psalm 104 talks about how His glory is enduring. It's enduring. Psalm 104:31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever, and the Lord shall rejoice in His works. In other words, His glory will never dim, and His glory will never diminish. I appreciated Ron and Ed and all those that were working on the lights here. We replaced those little curlicue bulbs that were the CFL bulbs, the ones with the mercury vapor in them, which you don't want to have break in front of you. We replaced them with LED bulbs. A lot brighter, a lot whiter light as well. But LED bulbs are supposed to last a long time, some 10 to 20,000 hours of light. And so these may last us 10, 15, possibly even 20 years. We're not exactly sure. But you know, even LED light bulbs are going to have a point where they start to dim, they start to diminish, and they will eventually die. But do you realize that the glory of God and the brightness of His glory will never, ever, ever dim, never diminish, and never die? His glory is enduring. The Bible also describes how His glory is excellent. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2 says that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. This is talking about the millennial kingdom. This is talking about the future. How it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall all see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. As beautiful as the new earth is going to be, as beautiful as the millennial kingdom is going to be, as beautiful as God's creation is going to be, God's glory is even greater. Greater. One of the things that we all enjoy seeing is a rainbow. Rainbows are beautiful. See all the different colors. And I remember teaching the kids the order of the colors. It was supposed to be Roy, G, Biv. And I'll let you sort that out. Each letter, it represents the first letter of each color, right? It starts with red and goes down. But imagine the excellency and the beauty of the glory of God. It's not just a bright white light, but rather it has all of the different colors and hues. When you come to the book of Revelation, you see all the different colors and hues, even there in the New Jerusalem, and all of the different foundations and the light that comes up through the streets that are made out of gold. It's going to be absolutely astonishing. It is excellent. It's so hard for us even today to consider that kind of beauty. In fact, it's hard for us to even look at a bright light, isn't it? It's hard to look at a bright light because it can do lasting damage if you stare at it too long, especially the sun. When I was a boy, my parents got me a telescope, and one of the things I wanted to do was see some of the things that happen on the sun, solar flares and all of those different things. Of course, you know you can't look through a telescope directly at the sun without filters. So we bought some filters, and we were able to see some of those things. But if you were to take those filters away, what would happen? It would burn your retina in an instant. It's that powerful. It's that bright. But do you realize with God in heaven, your eyes will not be repulsed by His glory. Your eyes will be drawn to His glory. You won't even be able to take your eyes off of Him. You won't want to take your eyes off of Him because His glory is beautiful and excellent. Not only that, Isaiah 58:8 says that His glory is going to be encompassing, all-encompassing. Isaiah says, then shall the light break forth as the morning. These are all prophecies of the future day. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. You see, the glory of God is going to be everywhere when you finally meet God. His glory will be before you. His glory will be behind you. His glory will be above you. His glory will be all around you, because you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His glory is all-encompassing, and that is our hope. That is the hope of the glory of God, and it will be revealed to you someday if you are a child of God. If you have Jesus as your Savior, that is the great expectation of every Christian. The glory of God will be revealed to you. But even more, the glory of God will also be revealed in you. In you. His light will be so pervasive that it will indwell your own heart. Since we're in Romans chapter 5, turn back just a couple of pages to Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to read verses 16 through 18. The glory of God will be revealed to you, and the glory of God will be revealed in you. Romans 8:16, Paul says, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Again, this applies to Christians only. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be," what? "Glorified together." And then these familiar words of comfort. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed," where? In us. In us. The glory of God that's revealed to us is then going to be the glory of God that is revealed in us. Because God is a glorious God, He is able to glorify His people. And that relates to all of the other points of hope that we looked at. His glory will be so pervasive in our heart and our life that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. He is going to stamp His divine image and His divine attributes deep on our hearts. Now, in the Bible, once again, there was someone who had a taste of that kind of glory. It was Moses. Remember Moses when he spoke to the Lord on the top of Mount Sinai? What happened to his face? Exodus 34:29-30 said the skin of his face shone. But once again, it wasn't coming from within. It was a reflection from without. But the glory that God has in store for His children is one that will be complete and will last forever. The glory that Moses displayed was only partial. It didn't last. It dimmed over time. But not the glory that God will reveal both to you and in you. That is your hope. Now, that final glorification does remain a bit of a mystery to us. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like. 1 John 3:2 again, John says, "It does not yet appear what we shall be." We have visual pictures in the Bible. We can consider the transfiguration of Christ. We can consider what happened to Moses there on Mount Sinai. But again, we still don't fully understand what took place. We don't fully picture in our minds what took place. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know," this is what we know, "that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So even though this final glorification remains a mystery to us, if you are a Christian, the glory of God will be revealed to you, and it will be revealed in you. And that is your greatest expectation. That is your greatest hope. And of course, Romans 5:2, what can we do with that? Head back there with me, Romans 5:2. It says we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that leads us to the truth that we not only have a great expectation as Christians in this hope, but we also have a great exultation in this hope of the glory of God. You see, when you think about the glory of God, is there anything else you can do besides rejoice and think and praise God? It's interesting because the word rejoice in verse 2 of Romans 5 and the word glory in the very next verse, in verse 3, are actually different English translations of the same Greek word, which describes when a person has confidence in something or is even boasting. It describes something when a person holds his head up high based on what they know or what they've seen. Christians do have something to boast about, don't we? Of course, it's not in ourselves, but it's through Christ. It's in Christ. Galatians 6:14, we sang this actually in one of the hymns tonight, where Paul says, "God forbid that I should glory And of course, the song we sang, God forbid that I should boast. So glory, boast, rejoice, those are all synonyms for that same Greek word. But God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And do you realize that's exactly what the hope of the glory of God enables every Christian to be able to do? To boast in Christ. To glory in Him. To rejoice in Him. So let's look again at verse 2. Because you have the hope of the glory of God, this extensive hope to see God in all His glory, you can and should rejoice in that hope. In other words, you can keep your head held up high as a Christian because of that hope. Again, you're not taking pride in what you are and what you've done, but rather you're taking pride in what God has already done. And when you have your head held up high, you're able to see things a lot better. If you ever walked through Indianapolis, we did this last week when we went to that Pacer game, a lot of people have their eyes down to the ground. They're not looking up, not looking around. A lot of them have them on their phones, texting or whatever. You've probably seen some of those videos on TV where someone's texting and they tumble over a curb or they run into a fountain and get all wet and destroy their entire phone and all those things. But the fact is, if you have your heads down, you're not going to see a whole lot. But when we rejoice in the glory of God, you know what that enables us to do? To live our life with our heads held up high so we can look forward to the glory of God. You can look forward to the glory of God. Are you looking forward to the day when you will see the glory of God in all of its fullness? Paul writes it this way in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, talking to Christians again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So you know what we need to do? We need to rejoice in the glory of God. We need to rejoice in that hope that we'll see Him, keeping our head lifted up high, setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Rejoice in the glory of God. But also, because you have the hope of the glory of God, you can also glory in, verse 3, tribulations. Oh, it's easy to rejoice and boast in God when you think about His glory, but it's a little bit more challenging to glory and boast in God when you have these tribulations around us. But what's the source of that glory? What's the source of that boasting? What's the source of that rejoicing? The same hope. The hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 3 again. And not only so, Paul says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So once again, even when you're going through struggles, even when you're going through tribulations, you can keep your head held up high as you long for the appearance of His glory. See, I think that's one of the reasons why He gives us this hope. Because the sufferings that we face in this world are nothing compared to the glory that shall follow. 1 Peter 5:10, Peter says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. That phrase really describes, encapsulates the Christian life today. After you've suffered a while, He will make you perfect. And establish you, strengthen you, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Are you longing for the day when you will experience the glory of God in all of its fullness? This week, when you are challenged with something, when you go through some kind of trial or difficulty, think about this hope. Think about the hope of the glory of God and how wonderful it's going to be. You will be in His presence. You will see Him as He is. And that's why we can even glory in tribulations also. With your head held up high, as you look for and long for the glory of God, it will keep everything else in its proper place and perspective. Again, Romans 8, verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We have a great exaltation as Christians, because we have a great expectation from Christ. And what is that expectation? The hope of the glory of God. Is that your hope today? Is that your hope today? It is so easy to let other things cloud your vision of God's glory in this life. It's kind of like the rain clouds that hide the brilliance of the sun. We've all been in an airplane. Most of us probably all have been in an airplane when it's a cloudy day and a rainy day below. And yet, you know that there's something above those clouds. You know the sun's there. And you know it's going to be bright. And it's going to be full. There's nothing that's going to impede your view when you're above the clouds. But once you're finally above the clouds, what do? You can't look at the light, can you? You may have had a rainy, blustery, miserable couple of weeks without seeing any of the sun. And you're just looking forward to getting above those clouds so you can see the sun. But when you're finally there, you can't. Because it's too bright. It's too strong. It's too powerful. You can't see it in all of its radiance and splendor. It's too bright. But that's not going to happen when you are a Christian and you reach the shores of heaven. When your hope of the glory of God is finally realized, when there will be no clouds covering the glory of the Lord, is it going to be too bright for you? No. It's going to be just right. You will see Him as He is, and you will not want to take your eyes off of Him. His glory will be just right. We shall see Him as He is. That is the hope of the glory of God. So this week again, keep looking and longing for the appearance of His glory, because it will come. It will come someday in the life of every Christian. Make sure that is your hope today. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, I thank You again for the hope of the glory of God, the hope that we will see You as You are, a hope that Your glory will not only be revealed to us, but then will be revealed in us because it is so powerful and pervasive. But, Father, I know sometimes it is so easy for us to forget about that glory, to forget about Your presence, to forget about the visible display of all of Your attributes because of all the clouds that we see in this life today. But, Father, I pray that even tonight, You will start to remove some of those clouds over our hearts. And You will give us a deeper desire to look for and long for and even pray that You would hasten the coming of the day where You will appear before us in all of Your majesty and splendor and glory. That is the hope of the glory of God. And Father, I know for all of us, oh, that will be glory for me. When by Your grace we will look on Your face, that will be glory for me. I pray, oh Father, that we all will have that great expectation, that we will all experience that great hope, and that that hope will help us when we experience the days that are cloudy and dreary this week even. Oh Father, I thank You that You are a glorious God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.